Welcome to the deep dive. We try to take a body of work, a whole set of ideas, and really pull out the key stuff, give you a proper understanding without you having to read for weeks.
Yeah, think of it as the fast track to getting informed.
Exactly. So today, we're digging into Gary Crossey's reflection on Michel de Montaigne, specifically his 16th century essay of Cannibals. Crossey's piece came out just last year.
Right, and what's really striking is just how much Montaigne's thinking from, the 1500s still hits home today.
It is pretty amazing. I mean, here's a guy writing centuries ago, and his whole point in this essay was to make people question their basic assumptions. You know, what makes one society civilized and another barbaric?
He was really pushing back against the norms of his time, urging people to look critically at their own culture's beliefs about others.
And that challenge, that call to question our own biases, is exactly why it feels so relevant now, especially with, well, everything going on online and globally.
Absolutely. So that brings us to our main question for this deep dive.
How do these insights from the 16th century about culture and prejudice actually help us understand the challenges we're facing right now in the 21st century? You know, living in this super connected digital world.
Okay, let's unpack that. Crossey draws this really interesting parallel. He connects Montaigne warning against just accepting vulgar opinion.
Basically, whatever's popular or commonly believed, right?
Exactly, to our modern problems with, say, misinformation online and how algorithms on social media can skew what we see.
It's almost uncanny, isn't it? Like, Montaigne saw the seeds of this. He warned about just going along with the crowd. And now we have these digital platforms.
Platforms that are meant to connect us, yeah.
But they can also trap us in these echo chambers, where you mostly see stuff that just confirms what you already think.
Mm-hmm. Crossey points out that social media, despite all its potential, can end up just reinforcing the beliefs and sometimes the prejudices we started with.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Is it just human nature amplified? That tendency to want our views confirmed?
Could be. And these echo chambers definitely feed into that. They show us more of what we like, what we agree with. It feels good, validating.
But it cuts us off from different views. It's like a modern version of the cultural isolation Montaigne was talking about way back when.
That's a great way to put it. Crossey uses political polarization as a prime example. You see it all the time online.
Oh, yeah. These misunderstandings just flare up instantly on Facebook or X or wherever.
And the speed itself might be part of the problem. Snap judgments, things going viral.
Before anyone really stops to think or understand the nuance, it seems like that instantaneous communication can sometimes actually get in the way of real understanding.
And this idea, this trap of our own perspectives that Montaigne saw in society, it's actually being confirmed by modern science now.
Right. Crossey brings this up. He points out how current research, things like cognitive science, cultural anthropology, they're actually backing up a lot of Montaigne's observations about how we behave.
It's fascinating. Like, studies in cultural cognition, they show pretty clearly how our preconceptions, our existing beliefs, literally shape how we interpret new information, how we judge others.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Like, research shows how our political affiliation can genuinely affect how we process scientific data, say, about climate change. We might just dismiss facts that don't fit our existing view. Montaigne saw that tendency centuries ago, just by observing people.
And it's not just individual psychology. What about the platforms themselves?
Well, research on global communication patterns is showing this kind of tension. Digital platforms can connect cultures, definitely.
Yeah.
But they can also deepen the divides.
There's a real double-edged sword then.
Totally. And then there's anthropology. Crossey highlights how anthropological studies really support Montaigne's idea of cultural relativism.
The idea that you need to understand a culture on its own terms.
Precisely. Anthropologists find example after example of practices that look, well, maybe barbaric to an outsider, but they serve a really important social function within that specific culture. Montaigne was revolutionary in saying, hey, maybe your way isn't the only way or even the best way.
And that shift in thinking has had real-world consequences, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Crossey mentions how this understanding influences things like international development projects or efforts to preserve cultural heritage. It's about trying to see the internal logic, not just imposing outside values.
Okay, so moving on from there, Crossey also connects Montaigne to environmental thinking.
Yeah, he explores how environmental philosophers and anthropologists are kind of building on Montaigne's groundwork. They're using his idea to look at ecological challenges today, especially that whole relationship between nature and civilization.
That feels incredibly relevant with the climate crisis.
Exactly. Crossy links Montaigne's original questions about what's natural versus artificial directly to how we think about our impact on the planet now.
And this ties into respecting different approaches, right?
It does. Modern environmental movements often echo Montaigne's skepticism about claims of civilizational superiority. They point to, for instance, indigenous communities and their traditional ecological knowledge.
Knowledge that was often dismissed before.
Right. Now it's increasingly recognized as valuable, as a different, valid approach to living with nature. It challenges that simplistic nature-civilization divide Montaigne was already questioning.
Okay, shifting gears a bit. AI. How does a 16th century essayist writing about cannibals connect to artificial intelligence? Seems like a stretch.
It does at first glance, but Crossy argues it's about Montaigne's core project, examining what makes us human. And as AI gets more sophisticated, well, we need that same critical lens.
So Montaigne's skepticism towards just accepting things at face value, apply that to AI.
Exactly. Don't just accept the claims about AI or the direction it's heading without really thinking critically about its impact on society, on culture, on what it means to be human. He gave us a toolkit for questioning accepted wisdom.
Okay, I see the connection now. It's about applying that critical thinking framework.
Precisely. The ethical questions around AI, how we interact with machines, they resonate with Montaigne's exploration of what natural human behavior even is. Crossy stresses that Montaigne's insights are vital if we want AI to actually serve human needs and respect cultural diversity.
And Crossy mentions some modern thinkers who are sort of carrying this torch.
Yeah, he does. He points to people like Kwame Anthony Appiah, who writes about cosmopolitanism and global ethics, very much building on Montaigne's ideas of understanding across cultures.
And others?
Tristan Harris is another example he gives, you know, looking at how digital technologies themselves shape our perceptions. That echoes Montaigne's skepticism about unseen influences.
It's not just philosophers either, is it?
No. Crossy also brings in social scientists like Nicholas Christakis studying social networks and anthropologists like Wade Davis, who's a huge advocate for indigenous knowledge. It shows these ideas are alive across different fields.
Which really brings us back to the big global challenges.
Right. Crossy argues Montaigne is crucial here. Think climate change, pandemics, regulating global tech. All these require massive international cooperation.
And you can't cooperate if you don't understand or respect different cultural viewpoints.
Exactly. Crossy suggests Montaigne's principles, respecting differences while still working towards common goals, are incredibly valuable for international bodies, for diplomacy.
And that emphasis on direct observation.
Yes. Trying to understand things firsthand, questioning assumptions, that's vital when you're dealing with complex cross-cultural stuff.
Which naturally leads to thinking about the tools we use for this interaction, digital platforms.
Mm-hmm. Crossy tackles this head on. He talks about the dual nature of these platforms for cultural exchange.
Opportunities and challenges, right?
Absolutely. The tech allows for incredible global connection. But like we said, it can also amplify misunderstandings, spread stereotypes like wildfire.
So what's the way forward? How do we use these tools better?
Crossy points back to Montaigne's method. Combine that personal observation, that direct experience where possible, with real philosophical inquiry. Basically, be thoughtful, be critical, be intentional online.
Don't just passively consume.
Right. Things like social media, video calls, even VR, they offer potential for genuine cultural exchange. But Montaigne would probably tell us to approach them with, you know, a healthy skepticism and a real openness to learn, not just to confirm our biases.
Looking ahead, Crossy doesn't see Montaigne's ideas as static, does he?
No, not at all. He argues these principles are dynamic. They have to evolve as we face new challenges.
Like what sort of challenges?
Things like digital tribalism, how we build communities online, these huge global environmental crises. Montaigne's core ideas about understanding others and questioning assumptions need to adapt.
And with AI and VR becoming more embedded in our lives.
Exactly. Those fundamental questions Montaigne asked about authenticity, human nature, cultural understanding, they'll need fresh interpretations. Crossy even wonders if Montaigne's focus on direct observation might eventually need to include things like virtual experiences or AI-mediated interactions.
Wow. That really makes you think about what direct experience even means anymore.
It does. Now, Crossy's reflection also nicely summarizes some key takeaways from Of Cannibals itself. Let's maybe run through those.
Good idea. So first off, what made Montaigne's perspective so, well, revolutionary back in the 16th century?
Well, a huge part of it, according to Crossy, was that he directly challenged that default European assumption of superiority. He actually suggested that these societies they called primitive might possess virtues that Europe lacked.
Which was a pretty bold claim back then.
Hugely bold.
Mm-hmm.
And tied to that was his method, emphasizing direct observation, firsthand accounts, over just relying on, you know, ancient texts or hearsay.
Getting out and seeing for yourself, basically.
Right. Which, Crossi notes, led him to essentially introduce cultural relativism, the idea of understanding cultures on their own terms, centuries before it became a cornerstone of anthropology.
Okay, so then how does all that connect to modern cultural bias?
Crossi draws clear lines. He points to social media echo chambers reinforcing prejudice today. He talks about algorithmic bias, where human biases get encoded into AI systems.
And just the ongoing problems with cross-cultural communication in business, politics.
Exactly. These modern issues show that Montaigne's warnings about jumping to conclusions about other cultures are still incredibly relevant. The basic human tendencies haven't changed that much.
So what lessons should we take from his method, his approach?
Crossi boils it down to three key things. One, the importance of direct observation, really trying to see things for yourself. Two, suspending judgment, resisting that urge to immediately label something unfamiliar as bad or wrong.
And the third?
Critical self-reflection, really taking a hard look at your own cultural baggage, your own assumptions and biases.
Those feel vital in today's world, with so much information coming at us constantly. Okay, Crossi also went deeper into some specific themes, like nature versus civilization.
Yes, and Montaigne's take is quite subtle. He suggests what we call natural is often just what's familiar to us, and barbaric is simply the unfamiliar.
So natural isn't inherently better?
Not necessarily, in his view. Crossi connects this directly to modern debates about technology's role, environmentalism, cultural preservation. It forces you to examine the basis for your own judgments about what's good or natural.
He also talked about power structures.
Mm-hmm. Montaigne examined how cultural practices, even ones that seem odd from the outside, often serve vital social functions. Understanding that, Crossi argues, is crucial for things like international relations today. You need to grasp the why behind cultural differences.
Okay, so finally, what are the big implications for today's global challenges?
Crossi brings it back home. For climate change, Montaigne's respect for diversity suggests we should be open to alternative approaches, like valuing traditional indigenous knowledge about the environment.
And for technology.
His questioning of natural versus artificial is directly relevant to ethical debates around AI, genetic engineering, human enhancement. Where do we draw lines, and based on what?
And cultural preservation.
Montaigne's fundamental appreciation for difference strengthens the case for protecting endangered cultures and languages, recognizing their inherent value.
So wrapping it all up, Crossi really makes a compelling case for the enduring power of this 16th century essay.
Absolutely. Montaigne's of Cannibals, seen through Crossi's lens, feels incredibly relevant for navigating our messy, interconnected world today.
It's amazing, isn't it, that the core message still resonates so strongly. You know, the need to question our assumptions, seek out real experience, approach others with openness and respect.
It feels more critical than ever, especially online. So maybe here's a final thought for you, the listener, to take away. Think about your own online life. How does your engagement with digital platforms, your social media feeds, either reinforce your existing views or actually challenge them? What concrete steps could you maybe take, starting today, to consciously move beyond your own digital tribe and try to cultivate a more genuine cross-cultural understanding in your everyday life?